Somebody say praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? I tell you what, I thought for sure Brother Donnie was going to leave. And I thought for sure these preachers was going to leave with him. And I just wanted to be counted in that number. I was going to go too if y'all went. But isn't it good to enjoy the word of the Lord? Aren't you glad you got a desire to hear it with all your heart? Oh, that's the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Well, it's good to be in church, fellas. Ain't it? Gary, good to be here. God bless all of you this morning. So good to see you. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. Sister Jaretta Stockton says to please pray for Brother Terry Stockton. The doctors can't find out what's wrong with him, but he feels bad all the time. So we want to pray for our brother that the Lord would touch him. Sister Mary Lewis sends this in. Thank you so much for praying for my mother. She told me that she is feeling better every day. She said, my dad has some tests coming up this week. If you can remember him this week in prayer, we would appreciate it. Thank you for your love. May God richly bless you. So let's remember those needs today. Dana Ayers sends this in to please pray for Brother Gary Ayers. Not been feeling well, so let's commit that unto the Lord as we pray today. Sister Maria Sponsia says to please pray for my cousin, Eva Lamelia. She had cancer 2 years ago, received chemotherapy. They recently found out that the cancer has come back in a different part of her body. She attends a message church in Florida. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request as we pray today. This note says to please pray for all the children. They're taking their TCAP test this week. So let's remember them, that the Lord would just help them as they do that. Brother Kirk Sacker wants to offer this testimony. Brother John Sacker and family are thankful for the church's prayers on Wednesday. Wednesday evening he had a 4-hour heart surgery that went well. He is doing very good and is in good spirits. So praise the Lord for that. I want to pray for Gloria Keith, very sick. In body, needs a touch from the Lord. We're asking that the Lord would just touch that prayer request this morning as we pray. Sister, this is not a name attached to this, but I would like to have the church family pray over an urgent unspoken prayer request for me. The Lord knows all about it. We're just committed unto the Lord. Sister Phoebe Torres sends this in to please pray for my uncle Cristino, who is having colon problems and facing surgery. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's remember that need. All the unspoken prayer requests. If you have something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we believe we're serving a God that can answer prayer, don't we? Let's sing that little chorus one more time. By the grace of God, we can say that. By the grace of God, we will be ready. His wife hath made herself ready. How many of you really want to be ready? Yes, I'm going to be ready. Longer I
bow our heads as we pray. Lord, as we are singing the song, we want to be ready. And Lord, I believe it's like it was years ago when we used to be in school. That every time we would go to class and the teacher would lecture or give things that we would know, and then one day there would be a final exam and we'd be held responsible for what material was given every time we went to class. Lord, I believe the material, the revelations are being given out and we're responsible. And that's why I don't want to miss church. I want to be here every service because one day I'll be held responsible. Lord, all the material is needed so we can pass the final exam. I believe, Lord, we're in that time, the final cleaning up, in the final stages, as he said last night, of the construction, where the cleaning up and the polishing down and the fine-tuning and getting our hearts and everything ready and right for that body change. God, we want to be prepared. And as we walk in grace, as the song says, I believe we'll be ready if we have that new birth, because that body will materialize around that new birth. Lord, these requests I hold in my hand. I know, God, you're an ever-present help in a time of need. I pray for Brother Gary Ayers is not feeling well, that you'll touch him. Brother Terry Stockton is not feeling well, you touch him. Give the doctor's understanding into what his need is and how to diagnose and what the medical science could do for him. But we know all healing comes from you. And Lord, Sister Phoebe's request for her uncle, you know what the need is there. And I ask that you'd touch him and give him a healing touch. I pray, Lord, that you'll just anoint our pastor this morning. Lord, the manna that he brings to us. Lord, I know it's your word. It's your food. It's spiritual food in due season. It's the ever-present water from the rock. It's present-day truth. And we're happy, Lord, to be a part of it, to receive it, have a heart to understand it, Lord, ear to hear, as it were. God, anoint and bless every heart to receive. And may when we leave this building, we say it's been good to be in the house of God. We love you, Jesus, truly, from our heart. There are those, I believe, that are standing amongst us right now that'll see a body change. We don't know how much time it'll be. Just saw on breaking news on the laptop this morning, earthquake 60 miles east of Los Angeles, 4.1 San Andreas fault. We know the big one's coming. When it's going to come, we don't know. But that ring of fire is belching all up and down the coast, Washington, few earthquakes some time back. All around, we know it's right at hand. God, help us to be ready. Help us have a revelation that we need to be ready. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his soul? Meet the need of every request. Bless the service this morning. And may we truly enjoy being in thy presence. Come among us. Take the uppermost seat. Have your way in each life. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome all of you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning. I've never been this homesick before. Are you kind of getting the blues, getting a homesick feeling? Something's calling you from another side. Aren't you glad about it this morning? Let's sing a little bit of it this morning.
There's a light in the window, the table spread in splendor. Someone standing by the open door. I can see a crystal river. Lord, I must be near forever, 'cause I've never been this homesick before.
See the bright light shine, it's just about home time. I can see my father standing at the door.
This way. Crying, I feel like spreading my
Let's sing this little song this morning just before we change the order of the service. Brother Ben, his family's here again with us this morning, Brother Ben Norod, and they're going to be singing for us. And well, they just blessed our heart here last night, didn't they? We're just looking forward to hearing them sing for us again this morning. But let's sing this little song this morning, and I want you to mean it. If you don't, I want you to really think about what this song is saying. In the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. If you know of Jesus, you'll start your day with Him. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. In hell, it's still going to be a great day if you start your day with Jesus. Because we know we're living in Satan's Eden. We know that. But we know also who sits on the throne of our heart, Brother Terry. And He's great. You love Him with all your heart this morning. Turn around, shake somebody's hand and say this. He's the greatest thing that ever got a hold of me. He is, guys. He's the greatest thing that ever got a hold of us. Play it. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Yes, you can.
Give me Jesus.
Oh, now when I am alone, when I am alone, when I am alone,
give me Jesus.
Oh, let's sing it at church. Give me
Jesus,
all I
need is Jesus. You can have all this world.
Yes, you can.
You can have all this world.
Oh, yes, you can.
You can have all this world.
Oh, but give me Jesus.
When I come to die,
oh yes.
Oh, when I come,
when we come
to die,
down to die.
When I come to die,
oh yes.
All I need is Jesus.
Oh, now give me Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Hallelujah. We're going to have Brother Ben and his wife come to sing for us this morning. And I know you're going to enjoy them. Now, we had some songs that we'll save from the local assembly here. We'll use them just as soon as we get to them. But we want to take advantage of these folks this morning. They look good, don't they? Give him a nice hand this morning. God bless you, Brother Ben.
That's our heart's desire right there, is to give us Jesus. He's the only reason that we live today. Without God's grace, without God's mercy on our life, I don't know where any of us would be. We'd all be in a mess. I said we'd all be in a mess. Thank God for him. Amen. Little David, you ready?
Little David looks so small. Goliath looks so tall. The odds were just too high for little David. So he shook off all of his load. For with the power of God he was clothed. He said, the battle's not mine. I give it to you. Oh, Lord, it's thine.
You say, man, the battle's not mine. Said little David, Lord, it's thine. I'm in your favor.
I'm giving it all to you.
I knew not what to do. I'm so glad you let me see.
You're really all that I need. For the battle's not mine. I give it to you.
Lord, it's thine.
Now little David, he stood tall. And Goliath seemed so small. Sweet victory had reigned for little David. With the record of getting things done, he said, the battle's not mine. I give it to you, Lord, it's thine.
Oh, say praise the Lord. The battle's not mine. Said little David, Lord, it's thine.
And I'm in your favor.
Oh, I'm giving it all to you. I do not know what to do. Oh, I'm so glad you let me see. Say amen,
Lord,
this morning.
It's thine.
The battle's not mine. Said little David, the Lord is
thine, and I'm in your favor. I'm giving it all to you.
I do not know what to do. Oh, I'm so glad you let me see. I'm glad, Lord. Is glad about it.
You're really all
amen.
For the battle's not mine. I give it to you,
Lord, it's thine. Lord, it's thine.
Glory, glory, glory. Hey, if that don't get you fire lit, your wood's wet. That's all there is to it. Amen, amen, amen. There's some truth in that song. How many feeling fine this morning? Well, if you're not, I sure hope you're feeling fine. Don't be rigid now and all that. Sinking creek's down that away. We in Happy Valley this morning. Right? So if you're feeling fine, there's one thing you got to do. Clap your hands, worship the Lord, and just get loose today because we are on our road to heaven right now at this very moment.
Woke up with joy in my soul, for I knew the Lord had control.
I knew I
was walking in the light, for I'd been on my knees in the night.
And I prayed till the Lord gave a sight,
and now I'm feeling mighty fine. Here we go now.
Amen. Could you do that song for us that you did first last night? The first one you did. Could you do that? Now, they don't get up here once in a great while. We got just a few more minutes. Do that song for us if you would, please. Thank you.
He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. And all my needs, he supplies my thirsty soul. He'll satisfy. He's the Lord of Lords. He's all comforts me when I'm weary. He eases every pain, fills my deepest longings. Time and time again, he's my soul.
I dare not turn to any other, for he's a friend that's closer than a brother. And on this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need.
He comforts me when I'm weary.
He eases
every pain, feels
my
deepest longing.
And he's a friend that's closer than a brother. Oh, and on this friend I can rely.
How many believe so?
To be my strength as life goes by. He's the Lord of all, and he's all.
Sing it with us.
When I'm weary,
he eases
every pain,
fills my needs,
fills my deepest longing.
Oh, time and
time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation.
He's all I
Just slip your hand to the Lord this morning. Sing now. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. Jesus is all I need. He answers prayer. He is all I need.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just stand together today. Thank you, Brother Ben, your wife. God bless you. Let's turn today to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. From one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. So the resurrection of the dead, there will be diversions, different types of glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you today. Father, we listen to the song, Lord, and know that truly you are all that we need. And we know that you have given to your believing children, once we receive the Holy Ghost, everything we have need of. The prophet states it in a way where we could be able to relate to it. And once we become saved, you give us a checkbook with Jesus' name down at the bottom of it. And all we need to do is to be able to sign our name and fill it out for the amount. So Lord, I pray that we today would be able to run another check through. We need more understanding, more revelation, help in your word, Father. We know your prophet has taught us that we will actually take the rapture by the word. So I think looking at the service last night that it helps to see from the new birth, this new person is being formed and built around that seed gene which has been quickened. Lord, help us that we can be benefited today by our gathering here, Lord. May the construction site, I pray, may work go on while we're in this service. The building of this new person. One day the construction will be finished. The signs will be taken down. The last piece of refuse will be picking up, Lord, off of the ground, and we'll be ready to be changed. Help us, Lord. May there not be one of us missing. Dear God, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Today you may be seated, friends. I'd like to speak to you this morning on when death is swallowed up. I want to read from also verse 54 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we read last night. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. And the word swallow is to drink down, to swallow down, to absorb, to overwhelm, to drown, and then to destroy or remove. Amen. Then death will be swallowed up in victory. Now let us turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. And we'll watch as the mystery of the change unfolds a little farther. Truly this was something that was in the secret of God's great heart. And we know the coming of the Lord is in mystery. His first advent truly was in mystery as far as the way that he was come to the earth as a redeemer, a mortal, to bleed and die. And if that one was veiled in mystery, then how much more will the rapture coming be in a mystery to where that it will not be actually known to everyone, but only to the initiated. Now, the coming of the Lord, as he tells us in Christ, the mystery of God, is revealed. The coming of the Lord is in mystery. And he said he didn't reveal it, and he said it's a good thing that he didn't reveal it, for Satan would know it, and he would mess up the whole thing. So God has been letting out, slowly unfolding this mystery right up to the end time. And then this is why it's so important that whenever we study, even from the perspective of the message, to make sure that whenever we're looking at the hidden mystery of the seventh seal, the third pool, many of those things, that we don't try to get a thought together and make our thoughts, you know, line up, but we want to make sure that our thoughts line up with the Word. Because even in trying to relate thoughts, that Brother Branham would have a view of what the seventh seal was back here, the third pool was back here, and we try to make all of those things run in continuity, and let's just be honest and face facts, sometimes they don't. Because he had an idea, he expressed that idea, but once the book becomes open, you have to take it from that new starting point of when it is actually a new beginning. For he tells us himself, it's not when the seventh angel first starts out in the healing campaign, but when he begins to sound the mystery or the message. We thank God for the early years. We thank God for the 40s, don't we? We appreciate all that. The 1950s and all that. But let's be honest. The full word was born into manifestation when the seals come open. So from there, we want to study the coming of the Lord from a complete different perspective. Now watch. Then whenever we look at the rapture, the resurrection, the coming of the Lord, we don't want to look at it just from the view of the message only, because it'll be very easy for us to get warped in what we're trying to look at. So we want to look at the hindsight, and know that Brother Branham likened it to a rifle. He likened it to a shooting, and he said, whenever you get off out here from the target, now for those of you sisters that may not know how to shoot, maybe some of your brothers that don't, there's a couple of ways that you can do this. Your rifle will come from the factory with open sights, whether it's a rifle or it will be a muzzleloader, whichever it will be, or a shotgun. It will come from the factory with open sights, unless you order specifically without those sights. Then you have the
the option to where that you can put a laser sight on it, or you can put a telescopic sight, which would be a scope that we call it. From that, it will give you more ability if you put a scope on that rifle, and you can begin with, say, 1.5 power, which would go on up to a 10 or a 12, and you would also have the capability of choosing the size of the scope. Now, depending on how big the scope is at the outer end of the bell, what they call the bell, then it will gather more light at the end of that scope. The longer the tube is, the more light it will gather. So you will have the option of going with all different types of scopes, and you can spend anywhere from $80, $90 on up to several thousand dollars, depending on how much you want to spend. And of course, the more you bid, you can go with the posts in the middle, you can go with the crosshairs, but what you want to do is to be able to look and line that up to where your target comes in more clear view, and to where you're able to gather as much light as possible. But you want to be able to line all of that up. Now, you got this gun that comes from the factory. It's trained to shoot an inch and a half at 100 yards from the factory. But you put a scope on that, it doesn't mean that automatically, just because you've got the scope on top of the rifle, you've been $1,500 for a Russian-made scope or a German-made scope or something like that, and you attach it straight to the gun, go to the shooting range, man, it's hitting all over everywhere. Well, that's because it's not lined up. Now, you can bore sight it, which means you'll pull it out and you'll take the bore sighter, put on the end of it. It'll pull the rifle and the scope within a pretty good range, and then you'll have to fine-tune it. But it must be tuned to where that the rifle is going exactly at what the scope is looking at. So, you know, even though you've got this great big expensive gun, this great big expensive scope, it must be finely tuned in order for you to be able to hit the target. We've got the Bible, we got the message, but you know what? It's got to be tuned to where we're looking at the same thing. And if we're not careful, we'll tune it to where that the scope is hitting one way and the rifle is somewhere else. And the Bible sets forth a resurrection like this, and the message people set it forth like that. And what have we got? An absolute mess and a gone. But to me, I mean, what I want, the ultimate target is for this old boy to be changed. So I want the scope and the rifle and all of it to say the exactly same thing. Materialization is what I'm headed for, when I will become fact and not faith. Amen. So in that, we want to look then from the basis of the New Testament and see how did the mystery of God, which was first revealed to the prophet Paul, and it was not Peter or James, even though John was a prophet, but John was not the prophet of the age. So the mystery of the coming of the Lord was not even revealed to John. When John writes in 1 John chapter 3, John says it does not yet appear what we shall be. Now, this is after John has many visitations and visions from the Lord, but John's clarity of the coming of the Lord was not what Paul's was. Even though John was carried up to see paradise and to heaven and all that, but the mystery of the coming of the Lord, of the rapture, was given exclusively unto Paul. So Paul says, I will show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And he further begins to unfold about that mystery, that there's parts of the mystery in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For he said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now here is a principal theme of tying those that are included in the resurrection and the rapture. That Paul does not say, if we're looking for this or that or that or that or that, then we'll be included. This is one of the primary factors by which the elect will be included in their own resurrection. You see, they'll not have one if they do not believe Jesus died and rose again. Now, this is very principle in understanding the body change itself, because Jesus Christ did not raise as an individual. Jesus raised as a head to the body. Glory. Jesus did not raise just as an individual. This is why our resurrection is over as far as God is concerned. Because Jesus Christ did not raise as an individual alone, but he raised as the head of a body. And if God raised that head, that body will follow, just as sure as there's a God in heaven. So notice he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now notice this. So Jesus then did not rise as a private person, but as the head of a body which would set the entire body in motion for the resurrection. Now here he does this as the first fruits, as Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now as Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So he was a pledge or an assurance that the entire body or the entire crop would raise from the dead. So God has predestinated the elect to be conformed to the image of his son. So the image of his son was not only living a perfect life upon the earth, but it was to face death, to defeat death, and then to be raised from the conquering power of death. So the elect are predestinated to be conformed to this image also. You see, God does not just want us to live a holy life and a godly life. Then we know that's part of it. But we are also predestinated to conquer death. Amen. We are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. And part of that image inclusive was that he would conquer death, hell, and the grave. Now, thank God I won't have to conquer hell. He's already conquered that. But if I live long enough, who knows? The Lord may allow me to die. I may go by the way of the grave. But if I do not go by the way of the grave and I'm alive, I will conquer death and the grave. I'll conquer it by never having to go to it. And I'll conquer death by it working in my mortal body, even as it is right today. So he has moved, he set Christ in motion to where we would be conformed to the image of his son. We're not just to be church members, friend. We're not just to believe certain doctrines and believe certain things. We are to follow in the image of the son of God, the ultimate of your life. It's not to make a living. It's not to be a good housewife. It's not just to be a farmer or a factory worker. It is God's predestinated thought for you to be conformed to the image of his son. Not just overcome smoking, not just overcome bobbing your hair and pornography and all that sort of thing. You must conquer death itself. Notice Paul said, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now listen to this. Jesus Christ is not complete without you, if you are part of his bride. Again, in Ephesians 1:22, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over, notice, over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. For if we believe then that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I want you to notice who those saints that have gone on, who they are coming from the sixth dimension with. They're coming with God. Now he's not coming as mediator lamb. But now he's Lion King. Now Jesus, glory, died, right? That we might be redeemed. But you notice, Paul says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, but he didn't say the saints died. He said the saints sleep. But did you notice he didn't say Jesus slept? Jesus actually died. What is death? Separation from God. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, we say it the same way and we think it means the same, but in God's terms of the Bible, it does not mean the same. Saints, in that sense, do not die. They cannot. They cannot be separated from the presence of God. Oh, sure, we have death, what we call in the body, but what do? They actually sleep. But Paul says Jesus died. But when he went to talking about the saints, he didn't say they died. But they slept. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. But he actually went through death so you wouldn't have to die. So you could simply go to sleep. Hallelujah. Notice this in verse 14, by the way that Paul uses this action in the original Greek language, it is literally to be put to sleep through Jesus. To be put to sleep through Jesus. So Jesus experiences death and takes death away from you. And no matter every child of God, whether they go by cancer, whether they go by a car wreck, whether they fall down steps and break their neck, whatever happens to them, Jesus is right there at the moment of their departure. And Jesus puts them to sleep. I'm talking about their body now. The soul is not referred to here, but the body. Now, to sleep in Jesus is actually to retain in this separation the same divine connection that you had with Him when you were a living mortal on the earth. Notice the way Paul categorizes these people that are going to come in the rapture. They are asleep in Jesus, not asleep in doctrines. Not asleep in a certain church. Not asleep in a certain fellowship. Because let's face it, when we face sleep, our doctrines don't really matter no more. I mean, the things that we argue and fuss and debate about, when it's all said and done, you don't sleep in a doctrine. You don't sleep in a Happy Valley church. You don't sleep in that. You better sleep in Jesus. Now, sleep, of course, is expressive of rest. So when the toil of life is over and your battles are finished and it's all said and done and you're laying there and your blood pressure is going down and the nurses are coming in and the family's gathered around your bed and it's all coming to a closure. It's all coming to an end and your breath's getting closer and closer and closer in another realm where they can't see you. They're standing there. Their tears are dropping off their cheeks down onto your chest. And they're holding you. Oh, mama, we'll see you. Daddy, husband, I love you. We'll see you on the other side. In a realm where you cannot see, there's Jesus standing waiting to immerse another one into the value of restful sleep. Now, what will it do? He takes that person and enters them into a phase of sleep. Now, of course, the seed gene of God leaves outside that body and it enters into the theophany. The theophany is not a asleep. As a matter of fact, once that chariot of death takes him across the river and they step out on the other side and that blue grass is standing there blowing in the wind, my Lord, it ain't Kentucky blue grass, it's heavenly blue grass, and the saints of God come running down through there screaming, hollering, 18 years old, hallelujah, and the saints of God are gathered there and we're fixing to commit this body into what? Cemetery. Anybody know what the word cemetery means? No? I just wonder. I mean, I just... I'll tell you in a minute. So sleep is expressive of rest. Sleep is an expression of refreshment. Those of you that's ever had sleepless nights know the opposite of that. When you get up the next morning, you think, oh, how much? I didn't sleep a wink. I feel so bad. Oh, man, it's amazing. You can be as rich as I don't know what and then be without sleep. You feel like a tramp. I mean, you can have everything in the world, but you don't get no sleep. You feel awful, don't you? During the day, you just feel absolutely terrible. You can have a brand new car sitting in the garage, a brand new house, brand new clothes, and all that don't replace sleep. There's something about sleep. Don't you love sleep? But yet, there's something about sleep. Why did Paul use sleep? Don't you see when Christ acknowledges these people, they are not dead. Even the separation of their theophany from their body is laying there in a state, waiting. So the body is laid in the grave, feeble, afflicted, worn out. Maybe the old heart just quit beating. It just stopped. And in your sleep, you left. Your body riddled with cancer. You fought chemo and you fought this and that and the other. And finally, the body just shuts down. And the organs just give up. No, no. He just takes you over and lays you in a bed of dust. Shh. Go to sleep.
You lay right there. I'll be back to get you. But the key is, you got to sleep in Jesus. Excuse me. Let me just tell you something, okay? You're going to win either way. Because if I'm alive, I'm going to change you. And if I die, I'm still going to change you. You are a very fortunate pile of dust. Do you understand that? You could have raised sweet potatoes. You could have been out there on the side of one of these banks and raised a pine tree or maybe an oak all of your life. But instead, God honored you to carry a seed. The calcium, the potash, the petroleum, the nitrates, all those things that made this body. It could have been out there on the side of a red vein and they made a good place for sweet taters. But God didn't want sweet taters out of this dust. But God breathed an expression of his thoughts and he let this lump of clay carry forth the seed life.
Oh, hallelujah. Sleep also implies the expectation of being awakened. Almost all of us, when we lay down at night and the last thoughts that you think about and you speak to your wife, honey, I'll see you tomorrow, and you kiss her and you, God bless you and love you and you know, whatever it is, or you tell your children a good night, you lay down expecting what? To get up. Now you understand, those who sleep in Jesus, it's totally impossible for them not to get up. Now watch this. Paul says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also would sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. Now even though their resurrection is not exactly expressed in the word, it's implied in his person. Now watch, God will bring with him. Now he doesn't say that they will hear per se, that they will get up and they will, but him, their identification, their coming with his coming is saying they will be raised. God will bring. Bring what? He's not bringing their body. But them that sleep in Jesus, their theophanies are there. The seed gene is entered into the theophany and Jesus will bring them with him. And then what are they looking for?
Amen. Their bodies.
Now watch. Jude says it this way in Jude chapter 1 verse 14. Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So here's the first man in the Bible that had a rapture. And this man says, the Lord's going to come one day with his saints. Now remember, the word Enoch means dedicated. So Enoch lived a dedicated life. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Enoch was translated. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says they could not find him for God took him. And the word took means to sneak, to seize, or to snatch, or to take a wife. Glory! So God was taking a wife in the type of Enoch. And Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied there will come a day, hallelujah, when the Lord will come with 10,000s of his saints. And what day would that be? The seventh church age from the second Adam. Here is Enoch, the seventh from Adam. And here we are, the seventh from the second Adam. Now watch, in order for Jesus to bring them with him, listen what has happened. Who is Melchizedek, paragraph 110. Therefore, the theophany. If you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. Now you imagine, here comes Jesus from the throne of God. He's changed his garments from a bloody lamb to a lion. The souls are released from the sixth dimension. They all come down with him. But Jesus hangs suspended in the heavens. For his precious feet will not touch this earth. So he says, go on down, children, and get your halves. I'll be here waiting on you when you come back. Woo, glory. He does not come down here because he's got his body. So he stays there in the heavens, suspended in the heavens where they've been expanded to redeem us. So there he waits, and here comes down the saints with him. Here they are, sieging in theophany, which is only a twofold being. You were made to be a threefold being from the beginning. So you lack one more element. What is that element? A glorified body. So Jesus, if you're there in the theophany, Jesus brings you down to meet the substance of the earth, and your body will materialize around what? That new birth that you had that carried you across Jordan. Therefore, the theophany, if you've died and entered into the theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. And if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany. Can't you see what's fixing to happen? A sweet fixing to come over the living bride. And all of a sudden, the power of God will lift us up off the earth, and we'll be suspended in the air, waiting there hanging, waiting for what? Your theophany, of course. Here comes those that have gone, and they are asleep in Jesus. And they're bringing their theophany for what? A meeting. A meeting of what? Their body. Notice this. If you're here in the air, I swear I tell you, I gotta be changed. I can't go through this. It makes me nauseated to think about it. Ain't no way I can be caught up in the middle of the air, standing there, hanging there like a spirit or something or another, waiting on my body. I've gotta be changed. You take the body to meet the theophany. You who? You who? You take the body to meet the theophany. You who? You, the person that this body was being formed around. You will take your glorified body. You who? The expression of God, the thought of God. There's only one form of eternal life. He said, you don't remember it. There's only one form of eternal life, but that was you. Notice this. You take the body to meet the theophany. There you are. Caught up. And go to meet the Lord in the air. Now watch. Paul then goes into the next verse of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 15. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Anybody here want to argue with that? If you do, please leave right now. I don't want this church falling on the rest of us. This is not opinion. This is not perhaps. This is not surmising. What we are fixing to read is the word of the Lord. So anything we read into it, my friends, if it goes contrary to this, I'm going to be nice and polite, as nice as I know how to be, but I'm going to call you a liar. If you're not saying what this word says, you are a liar. I don't care who it is, what preachers is, or whatever more. This is not Paul's opinion. Paul don't say, now this is I and not the Lord. This is what I think. This is my opinion. I think possibly it could be this way. He says, this is the word of the Lord. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we, which are alive, and remain under the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. Amen. Not dead, but asleep. For the Lord himself Now this is what the saints in the first church age looked for in the rapture. They were looking for Peter to raise. They were looking for Paul to get up. They were looking for some other man to get up. They were looking for the Lord himself. This is what they went to sleep looking for. And this is what they'll wake up being a part of. Now, if you go to sleep looking for something else, you may sleep on to the second resurrection, which is the gathering of all those that were messed up. But if you go to sleep in Jesus, you'll not be surprised when you see Jesus. Now you imagine Peter, James, John, Paul, Ramus, Luther, and all of them down to the ages. They look for Jesus, they look for Jesus, they look for Jesus in the resurrection. They wake up and they're sitting in the middle of a tent. And there's a prayer line over there, and Paul said, well, when's my turn? And he said, my turn to go through the prayer line. I got to go through the prayer line. Brother Ben, pray for me. I get my new body. Is that, where's the line at? Where's the start? Where's it begin? You say, why do you keep saying that? Because it's damnable doctrines that needs to be blasted. Hallelujah. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, not a proxy, not an angel, not a prophet, not a pastor, not a teacher, not a representative, not an archangel, but the Lord himself. Amen. The Lord himself. Job says it this way in Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Not his representative, not his secretary, not his pastor, not his prophet, but I will see him. Jesus says in St. John 14:3, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Millions of saints went to sleep down through the ages with this in mind. I've stood in Rome, in the catacombs, and seen where many of our brothers and sisters were buried underground. For those of you that's never seen the catacombs, it's caves, and they, you know, may not be but this big and say 6 foot long or something like that, but they bury them deepwise, and there'd be one right on top of another like that. If we would dig into those now and open them up, there'll be no bones. There'll be nothing left. It's all gone. The way we look at it. The way God looks at it. Sleep. Now remember, when his blood dripped down out of his body from the cross, all the chemistry of the earth was potentially redeemed when the blood dropped on it. Does it have to be those same acids and gases and all that? No, 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 no. It won't necessarily be the same acids that you lived in. Well, you had so many acids of this and so many gases, and we buried them gases and acids over there. Well, you know, the angels ain't going to come down there. They've got a crew over at Happy Valley Cemetery. Man, they're empty now. As many as we've got buried over there, there'll be a lot of folks know it. First thing on Monday morning, if it happened on Sunday after church or whatever time it would be, the grave people going to go and say, Lord have mercy, what in the world is coming? A bunch of grave robbers. Bunch of grave robbers coming through, but it don't necessarily mean that way. He may come over here on the side of this red dirt bank and just whoop. Brother Cecil will pop up. He'll come over here and there'll be another just pop up. Just a handful of scraping of dust off the top of the earth. Hallelujah. Now the angel's going to say, man, this is wearing me out. Why do they have to bury these people so deep? Whew, come on, we got to hurry up. It's coming at daylight. My goodness. And he speaks. And we will answer. Notice this. Acts chapter 1 verse 10. While they were looking, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. How did he go? In clouds. Theophanic clouds. Paul says, for the Lord himself shall descend. Which means to come down. To step down. The place from which one has come down from. The Lord himself. Notice, not the Lamb, but the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Look at this word, shout. Keruma, an order. Command. Specifically. A stimulating cry. Lord have mercy. Gabriel can't do that. Woodworm can't do that. No prophet, no pastor, no teacher can do that. The Lord Jesus has had many, many men to do all kinds of things. There's been all kinds of administrations in the body. But this is reserved for him. Lord Jesus, specifically a stimulating cry, that by which a signal is given to men. So a signal will be emitted by a shout. The rowers by the master of a ship, two soldiers by a commander, what a loud summons. The army is fixing to be gathered. So the Lord descends from heaven. Now notice he don't come, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But now he's a commander. And remember, the lion is very territorial. Under the administration of the Lamb, they could die and be buried, they could die and be buried, they could die and be buried. But when that administration changes from the Lamb to the Lion, the passive nature of the Lamb that is there mediating, now that nature passes away. And it is the nature of the Lion, which is territorial. This says some of my children's bodies are in the dust of the earth. I've come to claim my territory. And the lion roars with a shout. Lord Jesus. Amen. So Jesus, as a victorious commander, initiates this signal shout command. Many, many billions of people on the earth at that same time will know nothing of it. Remember the service now last night. They are not in synchronization to what God is doing. This is why, friends, to the bride, rapturing faith is not something that exterior from their new birth. Some message folks are looking for. They're looking for rapture and faith to be something out here, and we'll all move into something other. We'll come from somewhere. That, you know, the Bible does not say that Enoch by rapturing faith was translated. The Bible says by faith Enoch was translated. Do I believe in rapturing faith? I do. But I believe we made something out of it that is entirely wrong. Really? So the commander comes out and he says, army, get up. This word shout is not used anywhere else in the New Testament. That's very appropriate, I think. You only want to use things for the rapture that fit to the rapture. It means a cry of excitement or an urging. A shout. Amen. A rush to battle. A word of command that the shout of the leader speaks to the host and the army when it rushes to fight. You've seen enough war movies, your brothers, whether it's World War I or World War II, the Confederates or Gettysburg or whatever more, to know that they rally around there. But you got to have certain ears to hear this scream. It'll be so loud that those that are dead in Christ will... They'll come tearing out. Where is he? Where is he? I hear him. Oh, I hear him. I'm reporting for duty, sir. Hallelujah. I'm reporting for duty. But most everybody else will go right on. Still doing their sinning, they're living, they're doing whatever. Some folks in the message will get up and do their favorite thing. They'll push play on a tape and they'll start playing it. Because they think they're synchronized by playing tapes. And the shout has spoken and they haven't heard it. Because the only voice of God they know is what's mechanically recorded on that tape. And if Satan ever passes over the earth with a strong enough magnet, he'll erase all of our tapes, then where are we going to be? If the devil wants to take all of my tapes and my Bible and my computer and all my concordances, he can't take this new birth. This new person is not being shaped around my Bible. It's not being shaped around my tapes. It's being shaped around my seed gene, which has been born by God. What does that offend you, friends? Why are some of you tighten up on me on that? Do you understand the early church? The first book historically that was written in the New Testament was the book of James. And was written around the year 60 AD. So that means for almost 30 years, they preached the gospel, they cast out devils, they healed the sick, they raised the dead, and didn't even have a New Testament to preach out of. Let me say it this way, a New Testament they could hold in their hands. Actually, they were the New Testament. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. But you see, it's like Romeo and Juliet. It's a shout that will rape the dead, but total silence to everybody else. You see, it's a frequency and a pitch that only the elect can hear. You've seen them dog whistles and different things like that, you know, to get a dog to where you sit there and blow it, and that dog goes, ah, 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 and you're sitting there saying, what in the world's the matter with him? But his ears is so pitched in such a way that he can pick up that frequency and you can't. And the dead in Christ will hear that shout. Man, they'll come out of the ground. Paul will say, where is he? Luke will say, where is he? Irenaeus will say, where is he? I heard him. I heard him call me. Where is he? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice of the archangel. You use this Greek word every day of your life, but you just don't know it. This Greek word, voice. It's actually... short term, my brothers, it's P-H-O-N-E. Actually, the pronunciation is phoné. we English speaking people call it phone. So the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with a certain phone. And only those on the network will get a ring. You see, this is the Friends and Family Network. Ooh, glory! Hallelujah! Only those on this network will hear the phone when it rings. Glory to God. Lord, mercy. And this word phone means sound. Be noised abroad. A tone. We're familiar with that, aren't we? Like ring tones. Well, this is the resurrection tone. You see, if you're asleep in Jesus, you get a resurrection tone. If you're alive, you get a rapture tone. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! And this app will work. It's guaranteed 100%. Notice a tone of inanimate things. A voice. The sound of uttered words. So when you step outside of church, all the time you've been sitting there bump, 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 bump your phone because you got it on silence. You take it off your belt or your purse or whatever and you go to picking it up and flipping it over and return call, phone. Uttered words. So the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. And with a phone. Except I don't have this phone on silent. When I come into church and I walk into the office back there, I put mine on silent so it don't ring. But this phone is never on silent. I don't have it on page. And for this particular line and this particular phone call, there is no one on the other end. He is unable to take your call at this time. Please leave a message and we will call you back later. Oh no! There is no answering service on this phone. There is no delay service. I'm sorry, his mailbox is full. Oh no! It will not be full to this one. And look, this is not a prophet. This is not a preacher. The Lord himself. Can't you see what the church for thousands of years focused on? The rapture was. The main event is Jesus Christ. Until this day. And this day, year by year, little by little, the focus changes from Jesus to Brother Branham. Friends, why is it y'all get quiet on me when I say that? The focus of this is not on Donnie Reagan. It's not on some other preacher. The Lord himself. So the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The word archangel only appears one more time in the New Testament, the book of Jude, again, where it's applied to Michael, verse 9. Now watch, Brother Ben says, the same voice that summoned John, come up. The same voice that said to John, come up. It's the same voice that'll summon the church someday. Amen. He says, summons the church. Also, the same voice that John summoned John to come up is the same voice that summoned dead Lazarus out of the grave. That same voice of the archangel. Who is it? Michael. Christ. Christ is not Gabriel. but Christ is Michael. The submerging of his administration. Glory to God. He's not crying as a lamb. He's not bleeding as a lamb for mercy. But he's crying back in this position again as Michael, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he's looking for his queen. Don't you understand? This office that he enters into, angelic, it's calling the angelic theophanies. It's no longer the Lamb of God pleading for your sins, for your ignorance. It's Michael. Michael. Calling for the gathering of theophanies. Notice Christ is the voice of the archangel. The voice of the archangel. See, oh, that trumpet voice of Christ summoned John to come up. That same voice summoned Lazarus. Did you notice at the grave of Lazarus, he spoke with a loud voice? Now, Brother Branham imitates real quietness and weakness on this. Lazarus, come forth. That's what kind of preacher some of y'all want. God bless you, John. God understands why you can't live right. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to preach against sin no more. A loud voice shouldn't scare you all. At the resurrection, y'all shouldn't go, ooh. You've heard a loud voice for many, many years. Notice, Brother Ben imitates weakness, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Summoned him from the dead. And he answered, And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. No disrespect to Paul, but Paul can't do this. No disrespect to Elijah, to Brother Branham, to John the Baptist, or any other man, but this is not their position. This belongs to Jesus Christ himself. Glory. Notice he answered, you're mine. He'd come forth from the dead after he was dead and his body rotten. Quickening power restored Lazarus' nose. That same voice said to John, come up here and I'll show you some things that's fixing to happen. That same voice shall sound when the dead in Christ rise. For the trumpet, what is the trumpet? The voice of Christ. That same one sounded and summoned him to come up, heard the voice like a trumpet sound and said, come up hither. See how the resurrection will be? It'll be in a moment. Not 2 weeks in Charlotte, 3 weeks in Seattle, 2 weeks over here in a tent, 2 weeks over there, 2 weeks. Friends, all this is contrary to Scripture. In a moment. Oh, in the twinkling of an eye, that clear sounding voice, he'll summons the church calling, come out of it. And that great summoning voice, God help me to hear it at that day. This ought to be one of the greatest desires of your heart. Not God, please give me more money. God, please give me a bigger house. God, please give me this. But God, help me hear that voice. Now notice, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Now the trumpet blast was given to the Jews to call in a solemn assembly. But it was also given as a precursor to the manifestation of the person of God. Exodus 19:16, it came to pass on the third day in the morning, there were thunders.
and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. This is before God was coming. A trumpet sounded. Amen. Psalms 47:5. God is gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of the trumpet. So God's used to shouting and blowing horns. Matthew 24:31, he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now notice, the shout, the voice, the trumpet, bam, bam, bam. The theophanic appearance. Then notice what happens. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. I love this. Believers after their passing from mortality are still identified as being in Jesus. Can't you see your experience with God outlives your body? Don't you know your experience will outlive your trials? Your experience will outlive your test? You are still identified in Him when your nose is filled and you've gone back to gases and acids. But the shout, the voice, the trumpet, and the dead start responding. Before the living are changed, this sets in cycle. Notice in the first seal, we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those same type of people that are asleep, that fell asleep on account of human age and the state of human age. They died back there, but they're not dead. They're sleeping. Amen. They are asleep, not dead. The only thing it needs is the bridegroom to wake up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we which are alive and remain shall not hinder those that are already fell asleep, for the trumpet of God shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Again, how can overcome? We which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will not prevent those which are asleep. The trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise. Then when our eyes behold our loved ones, then we'll be changed. In the twinkling of an eye, and shall be caught up together. The shout, the voice, the trumpet, and the dead start getting up. Say, Brother Donnie, I'm scared of ghosts. Me too. But these won't be ghosts. You can believe whatever you want to about ghosts. I've seen them. They're real. Yeah, I know they are. I don't believe it. Don't really care. But these people ain't ghosts. When I see them, glory, they're going to be in glorified bodies. About 18 to 20 years old. You imagine what a sight. You're standing there brushing your teeth one day and there's mama behind you younger than you are. Woo! There's your mama, 18 years old. And you know it won't be long. You're going to be changed. Let me go just a bit further. Notice in paradox, he says, notice the form of the rapture. How it will be. We meet one another before we meet him, because he knew that when we got there, I'd be wondering if you were there. You were wondering if I were there. But the Bible said, we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord will not prevent or hinder those which are asleep, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, the twinkle of an eye, and be caught up together with them. Oh, what a worship. It'll be that time. Now, caught up together with them, we become part of that before that time comes. Catching up into the rapture. I love this one here. We'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Think of it. Missing people. They can't see you no more. But you're getting together with the rest of the group.
This is the real meaning of hide and seek. Lord God, have mercy. One day you ain't going to show up for work. Boy, your boss is going to be mad at you. They'll call you on your cell phone. They'll text you. You're fired. You won't even care. You can have my job. You can have my car. You can have my house and all the payments that goes with it. I don't even need it no more. Think of it. Getting together with the rest of the group. Missing people.
Yes, sir.
You ever walk by Walmart or Target or wherever and you see these pictures, you know, these pictures. It's always so sad because yours is a young boy, 12 years old or 11 or whatever more. Many times I walk by there and I imagine myself on that board. Missing person. A little psychotic, a little bit strange. Toy could be in a tree, could be packing a gun, could be dangerous. Missing person, very strange, very weird. There'll be some more of your pictures down there at Walmart with mine. Missing people. We can't figure out what happened to them no more. They come up missing. My, the razor was right there. You can tell he's fixing to shave, but now he's gone. All the shaving cream was there, the toothpaste, the hairspray. He just washed his hair, and that was his church clothes, but we couldn't find him no more. Hallelujah. What was it? He heard the phone call. Ring, 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 ring. The shave was put on weight. Brushing the teeth was put on weight. Wait a minute while I answer this call. Missing people, they can't see you no more. But you're getting together with the rest of the group. They which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder the word is. Those which are asleep, not dead. Christians don't die. They're just taking a little rest. That's all, oh my. And the trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Appear to many. And all at once, you happen to stand and look. And well, there's a brother. And you know it ain't long. In a few minutes. Not months. Not weeks. Not time for a tent meeting here. Not time for a bear hunt. Not time for an airplane ride. In a few minutes. Will be changed. Now listen how Brother Branham believed this could happen. Read this. Check me out. Make sure I'm saying what he said. 1964, July the 19th in the evening service. And to think with all we've seen in the scriptures and the clear-cut vindication of the hour that we're living in, it could happen before the service ends. So Brother Branham didn't believe he had to raise for this to happen. He didn't believe that the tent, the brown bear, friends, either we've got a false prophet that is a liar and a deceiver, or we've got folks in this message that are terribly deceived. This was the expectation that he preached to us. Do you come here happy now? Do you come here to church and realize it could happen before this service comes to a close? Let me close with this. Let's stand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Maybe we'll pick it up again next week. Paul says in verse 16, the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then. This word is after that. Thereupon. Immediately. And the proper use of this word is it denotes a succession so close to exclude the idea of a long interval in between the transactions. So when Paul sets this out with the word of the Lord, he left no time frame, no interval for anything else to happen. Thank you. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, which means catch up. Take by force, catch away, to seize, carry off. Come on, Romeo. To seize, claim for oneself eagerly. Oh, friend. I'm sure there's no way we can imagine how he is building under such anticipation. He's been waiting, waiting, waiting. And maybe there's three names left. Two, one. Maybe the last one's already been called and just waiting for them to be finished. Imagine Jesus anxiously awaiting. Because remember too, he once was a human. And in his glorification, it did not take away that part. Because God thought of himself of being a human. As a human, Jesus wanted to share things. When he entered into the personification of a glorified body, that did not change it. He still thinks and feels as a glorified human. Amen. You understand that? He loves. He'll feel similar to us. He'll touch. He wants to touch you. There's something about humans that relate to touch. As I told you some time back, they've proven it over and over again, that people with high blood pressure, people with all kinds of different things, when their family will come in intensive care and come in, you know, just the touch of another human's hand upon your body. They've proven it. Help lower blood pressure. Help deal with this. Help deal with that. Amen. But can you imagine one day when Jesus himself walks up to where you're sitting at the table and he reaches forth that precious hand, stretches it across your eyes. Say, don't cry no more. It's all over. We reach across the table, grab a hold of one of his hands. And everywhere you look, you're just hugging one another and shaking one of those hands. And we're feeling, oh, why? We're human, glorified humans. He's not going to walk out of some robot with no feeling. You'll probably be surprised at the way he will react. You'll probably be surprised as he sits on that throne. Not there's some statue, but as God incarnate. Jesus, as a man, wept. He cried. He felt. He loved. He understood. And what does glorification do? Brings that to a higher degree and deifies that. Jesus won't cry, of course. But can you imagine Jesus smiling? You think Jesus is going to go around this for eternity? That's not my Jesus. Jesus will want to touch you, Brother Jim. He'll want to reach out and put his arms around you and pull you up close to him. Now, can you imagine Jesus laying his precious head over on yours and patting you and saying, I love you. I loved you before the world began. You were mine before there was a speck of stardust. I love you. It makes my heart feel like melting right now. I can imagine how I feel it. The Lord himself. And what will happen when I enter into that body? Yes. We'll be swallowed up in victory. It's amazing because Isaiah is the one who says that scripture. Isaiah 25. But he says, he will swallow up death. The Lord God. But here Paul says, it will be the church. How will it be? Him, the Lord God, in bride form. Let's bow our heads together.
when death is swallowed up. Here we stand right here today in this body. Two realms are working in us down inside of our souls. If we're born again, eternal life, a new person is being formed. Construction is going on in that person. But in this body, you may have a disease today. You may be blind. You may be crippled. You could be paralyzed in a wheelchair or whatever more. And in you could be two realms, the realm of life and the realm of suffering and the realm of death. But friends, one day, this mortality will give way. This mortal will put on immortality. And this corruptible will put on incorruption. Praise God. Lord Jesus, may you move across this building today. May you help each of us, Lord. Lord, I simply want to ask, as Brother Pam did, let me hear that voice at that day. God, I've never asked you for a great lot of things in life for me personally. Most of my life has been in service for your people. So it's trained me and helped me not to be a selfish individual, to spend all my time in prayer for me and thinking about me. And I can preach here if it'll make me rich, or I can preach there if it'll make me famous, or I can go here. I just don't think that way, Lord. I don't think preaching and offerings and preaching and fame, to me, it just don't tie together. But Lord, I want to ask you for something for me today. Help me to hear that voice. I pray for them too, but now I want to pray for myself that you'd help me. With all of my getting, with all that I could be able to accomplish and do in life, what would it all be worth if when that voice sounds, I can't hear it? I'm not on the family network, so therefore I won't receive the call from the phone. Lord Jesus, may you help each of us today, Lord. May this be why we live. Brother Bram said, then you will come for those who are loving your appearing, that's living for it. Many of us live for our kids. We get so involved in everything our kids do. It's like people become drunk on their kids. Others become drunk on their jobs. Others become drunk on their money and this and that and the other. And yet Brother Bram tells us the only ones going in the rapture are those that are living, loving his coming. And it makes perfect sense to us why Satan would want us to get so sidetracked that we live for so many other things, but we don't live for the coming of the Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus. There's one here today that needs renewed. One today that's out of fellowship. May you deal with every heart. One that's sick, one that's afflicted, one that's down, one that's weary. May your great presence come and minister to us. Grant it, Lord. I'm going home. I'm going soon. I'm going where I. Sing it now. I've always been a stranger here, but now I'm going. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands? Sing it to him now. Close your eyes. I'm going home. I'm always here. sing the verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, no more crying. No more crying. Life eternally. Oh, I'm going home. Let's sing this together before we go. I have no idea what he'll say that day. Could be related, of course, in so many terms. But let's sing this song, Come Away, My Love. Knowing that it will be in the relationship of the great king calling his beautiful queen. And she will gather and throne those wonderful streets. And the angels of God which have enthroned him and been around him for thousands of years will back away as the queen moves around the throne. Hallelujah. Come away, my love. Come away. He's waiting for this day. Oh, eternity awaits us. Can you imagine him stepping out there? Come away. To you, my new name. Oh, eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. I've waited for this day when I can give. Eternity awaits us. Come away. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. The table dressed in linen, the banquet is prepared. A host of angels gathered for that celebration there. Oh, the bride is almost ready in spotless white array. A hush falls over heaven as the groom begins to say, come away, my love. Come away, my love. I'm waiting for this day. God bless you, children. I love you with all my heart. Eternity.